Welcome to the Jimmy B Sports Show on Power 90.1, featuring Bay Area Sports Insight. Now, here's your host, Jimmy B.
Good morning, Tampa sports fans. Welcome to the Jimmy B Sports Show. Today is Saturday, the 27th of April. You are in the gymnasium with me, Jim Barron, as we talk about all things sports, concentrating, of course, on the Tampa area. That means we'll be breaking down the Lightning's performance or lack of performance. We'll be talking about the Bucks draft and also NBA playoffs. The number here, 877-448-7901. The best way to participate in the show is to shoot me an email, jimmybsports.com, and we'll get it on the show. We'll be right back to kick it off on Power 90.1.
In the heart of Brandon is your local family-owned fine jewelry store. That's McCauley Fine Jewelry. At McCauley Fine Jewelry, we have a group of very talented designers and jewelers on site who would love to help you create a one-of-a-kind piece or choose from a wide array of beautiful fine jewelry. Planning an engagement or wedding this spring or summer? Look no further than McCauley Fine Jewelry. Stop by our new showroom today at 201 South Kings Avenue. Same great staff, same great service. Shop McCauley Fine Jewelry in the heart of Brandon. Now, back to the show. Back to the Jimmy B Sports Show on Power 90.1.
Welcome back, sports fans. What a great time of the year. Now, if you're a true sports fan, we have the NHL playoffs, we have the NBA playoffs, we have baseball season going, we have the NFL draft, we have the Kentucky Derby coming up, one thing after the other. So it's really a great time of year for us sports fans. Want to talk about some things that really aren't so great right now with us down here is the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yes, I'm going to get to the draft. Unfortunately, for all you NFL draft fans, it's a little bit later in the show. To me, that's not in the top two things right now. But getting back to the Lightning in the playoffs, what's going on with our Tampa Bay Lightning? Now, we had the first two games down in Sunrise. We lost those two. We came back home on Thursday night and played a tough game and came up short in that one. So we're 0-3. Coming into the game later on this afternoon, where, as you know, in a best of seven series, first team to win four wins it. We are one loss away from being eliminated and playing golf the rest of the summer. So I think that what the Lightning have done versus what they need to do is something that we're going to talk about a little bit here. We're going to take an email from Justin in Plant City saying, Jimmy B, I know you talked about Kucherov being so awesome this year, and he was. What's going on with him in the playoffs? Is he hurt? Well, Justin, that's a great email, and to be honest with you, I don't know what's going on with Kucherov. I don't know what's going on with him or number 21, Braden Point for that matter, but I can tell you that now number 86 and number 21 better get their act together today and, you know, right this ship pretty quickly. Now, when I say that, yeah, those guys had a great season, and before we get to the playoffs, you know, what Kucherov did all year long was unbelievable. Vasilevsky coming back from back surgery really came into his own the last 6 weeks of the season. And they did what they had to do to get us this far into the playoffs. What really hurt us was Boston Bruins throwing that last game of the season. If they didn't throw that game and won, we'd be playing Boston right now instead of the Panthers. I really believe that the Panthers are the best team in the East, and they got to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. A lot of people forget that, and you know they're hungry. They're a team that is really deep. They're playing with poise. They're playing with great execution. And I think that when you look at this team, it reminds us of us several years ago. Unfortunately, right now, we're playing with too many mistakes. I think that, you know, you can point out some people like I just did with Kucherov and Point, but you know what? you need to look at what the defense is doing, and then you need to come up with a game plan and figure out why it's not working and what you can do to make it work. And had the Lightning done that? No, not yet. And as I mentioned, time is of the essence here, because we have a game today. If we win, then we go back to Sunrise for a game five. And no, 1-1-1 after that till it's over. So by the end of today, the season could be over for the Lightning. And that may be the last game of Steven Stamkos' career as a home team playing here in Amalie. We're going to talk about that a little bit maybe later on as well. But I think that I have a lot of emails this week, a lot of texts about, you know, is it, you know, bad luck? Are we not, you know, getting some bad breaks? I know a lot of shots are hitting the post. And yeah, now that's what it is. You could say we haven't had very good puck luck. Or you can say that the Panthers are just a better, deeper team right now. And I think that you'd be right on both counts, because going into the series, the Lightning have played well, like I said. The Panthers, though, they are a team that all four lines are producing for them, and they have all year long. In this series, the Lightning have only played with the lead for 7 minutes. 7 minutes out of three games, 60 minutes per game. You can do the math. So, you know, that the fourth line, you look at, they've experienced vets in their fourth line. Lawrence and Montour came through for them in the game on Thursday night. And the problem with the Lightning right now is that we are not taking care of the little things, especially at key times. I think I heard Dave Randorf, who announces the game, say that during one of the interviews that he had. And I can't agree with him more. The little things at key times. We cannot get the puck out of our end of the ice when we need to. When you go to clear the puck from our defensive end, you get one chance. You have to clear it, or you're going to run into problems. We're not even giving Vasilevsky a chance to make some of these saves. I mean, he's been standing on his head. And Bobrovsky, you know, they're playing just as well. I mean, he's both of these guys, both of these Russian goalies, Vasilevsky for us, Bobrovsky for them, an unbelievable show of work between the pipes for both of those guys. The difference is right now we are not scoring the goals that we need to do. And unfortunately, every little mistake that we make, the Panthers capitalize on it. If you watch, there is no panic on the Panthers team, and they're controlling everything, and they're putting pressure on us. And for as much of a veteran team that we have, it's amazing to me how the Panthers are controlling everything. I think that if you look, we have the number one penalty scoring team when we get a power playing team in the NHL. Now, they have the best power play defense in the NHL, penalty kill. Now, they're tied with Winnipeg. On the road, they're number one. Florida's number one. So what's going on is that our power play, if you look at the games, I think we're 2-for-12 on power plays. And on Thursday's game, we were 0-for-4. If you put the game on in the first period, we had three chances to score. We had three power plays that we came up with Bupkis on all of those. So when you go 0-for-4 in power plays, it's not going to work out too good for you. And I think that what's going on is that you look at our power play, what is Kucherov doing? And I can tell you what I think is going on. Some people say, well, he must be hurt or something else. Kucherov, to me, is someone who is a prisoner of perfection, if you will. And he's got a couple points in this series. I think he probably has 3 points so far. But if he's not able to make the passes and see the game that the way he sees it, which is a lot different than other players, which makes him so great. And when he can't do that, then his whole game suffers. Now, they are keying on Kucherov and keying on point. More so Kucherov, I'll guess and say. But what happens is that if you take his passing ability away, he needs to move, and he's not moving. If you look on the power plays, I was watching some replays, he's pretty much staying within a 3, 4, 5 foot radius of where he started. And you can't really do that against a team as great defensive-minded as the Panthers. And again, our power play is killing us. The minutes that we're playing out there, Hedman, 27 minutes on the ice. That's a long time for Hedman. Stamkos is playing his butt off, and I think that, you know, of all the players out there, he has scored in every game so far. And, you know, his leadership out there is what we need. And I think that if you look at the rest of the team, they need to step up. I mean, we have players that can go out there and score. No, Hagel, Cirelli, Paul, all these guys, we need to go out there and become aggressive. I think that the couple times, if you look at the second period when we went out there and we really took the lead for the first time, what did we do? We had a bounce in our step. We came out there. We were attacking instead of laying back. Now, here's what the Panthers are doing well that I've seen so far on defense, besides keying on Kucherov. Because don't forget, Kucherov was responsible for over 50% of all of our points this year, all of our goals. So by taking him out of the equation, they're doing a great job making other people step up. Here's what else they're doing. They know that the Lightning like to make that one extra pass. If you watch Bobrovsky in goal, you see him keying on that. A player would have a shot. He's looking at where that player is going to pass to next, because that's what the Lightning do. They're very unselfish, but to a fault, especially in the playoffs, especially against a team that knows you're going to do that and is able to defend you from doing that. So, like I said, from a defensive standpoint, we never really were able to replace Ryan McDonagh, in my opinion. And now with Sergachev hurt, don't forget, we have 8 rookies this year. So it's one of those things where, yeah, the Lightning are a good team, but we're playing a team that is, I think, a little bit better right now. And when you play a 7-game series, normally the better team is going to win in that 7-game series. Now, you can look at it this way. In a 1-game situation, anything can happen. Well, we need to focus on 1-game scenarios starting today. And anything can happen in 1 game. We've beat the Panthers this year, but they know what we're doing. And I think that maybe their youth, we're a little bit older than them. I'm not sure if the Lightning are a little bit tired right now, but I really do look for them to come out this afternoon. And they realize what's at stake. And this is a very prideful team. And I think that we're going to come out, play a different type of game today, be more physical in the beginning, and take more shots on goal. Because so many times, the best pass in hockey is when you take a shot and it's rebounded and your own player's in front of the net and is able to put the puck in the back of the net. So that's my take on the Lightning. Thank you for the email. Take a quick break. We'll be right back to keep the show going. You are in the gymnasium on Power 90.1.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
paid for by Steel Man Pills.
800-814-5031. 800-814-5031. 800-814-5031. That's 800-814-5031.
Now, back to the show. Back to the Jimmy B Sports Show on Power 90.1.
Welcome back, football fans. With the first pick of the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears pick Caleb Williams. Shocker. Everyone knew that the Bears were going to take Williams, and that's all you really heard for the last 3 months on ESPN was about the Bears and Williams and, you know, the draft and who's going to take who and who's trading up, who's trading down, who has the first round draft picks. And it's always exciting to follow your team. And, you know, if you're a fan of the game, you know what your team's strengths and, more importantly, what their weaknesses are. And you try to fix those either through some trades, through free agency, and, of course, the draft. So come draft night, everyone is talking about, you know, what you're going to do, who you're going to take. You had the GMs of all the teams leading up to last night, on Thursday night, I should say, saying, you know, what they're planning on doing, what holes need to be filled. And of course, a lot of times they're saying things because they know that all the other teams are listening to what they're saying, so they're not going to put all their cards on the table. However, I think that if you look at the way the draft went on Thursday night, there weren't many surprises. Actually, the only surprise that I saw was Penix going in the eighth pick. Michael Penix Jr., that played for Washington, is going to the Atlanta Falcons, which, now, we're going to get that to that in a second, but that was about the only strange thing that I saw in the draft when I was watching it, and then I saw some of it. I mean, try to stay up till, you know, past midnight to see who the, you know, the last pick of the draft is going to be in the first round is a little bit overrated to me. But number one pick is Caleb Williams. Now, so he's going to the Bears. As you know, the Bears traded Justin Fields. They got rid of him, and they made room for Williams. He's 6'1", 214 pounds. Of course, you know, he played for USC. Overall ranked was number one in the draft. Everyone said that he was projected to go number one. He's an elite improvisational talent. His arm strength is very strong. He can pick defenses apart. He can stay in the pocket and throw, or he can have the foot speed to evade the pass rushers in some tight spaces. And he's a strong individual to be able to avoid and break some tackles. So being able to extend plays like that, adjust his arm angle a little bit the way that Mahomes does, and I'm not comparing it to Mahomes because there is no comparison of anybody to Mahomes, but no, he's a patient pocket passer, and I think as he goes through the progressions and you give him some time to grow, I think that he has the ability, definitely the raw playmaking instincts to, you know, go ahead and have a good career in the NFL. But we're going to see, because like I said, to me the draft is, a lot of these players turn out to have decent careers. A lot of them turn out to be busts. So it's a hit or miss sometimes. A lot of people are comparing Williams to Aaron Rodgers. I don't think you can make any of those comparisons until they start playing and you see what's going on. So overall, I think that it was what the Bears needed, because I had someone ask me, when was the last time the Bears had a good quarterback? And for the life of me, I can't give that guy an answer. I don't know. If you have one, please go to JimmyBSports.com and let me know when the last time the Bears had a dominant quarterback. And don't tell me it was McMahon, because he wasn't dominant by any stretch of the imagination back on that 85 team. So Williams went number one. Then we had the Patriots with the number two pick, and they took Drake May, another quarterback. He was out of North Carolina. And just so you guys know, this is the first time ever that five quarterbacks were taken in the top 10 picks. Now, you had Williams going. You had Jaden Daniels going number three, or number two. You had Drake May going number three. You have Marvin Harrison as a wide receiver was the fourth pick. He was from Ohio State. He went to the Arizona Cardinals, definitely strengthening that team. Then you had Joe Alt, offensive tackle, went to the Chargers out of Notre Dame. Malik Nabers went to the Giants from LSU. Now, to me, I was a little bit surprised at that. Yes, the Giants need wide receivers, but Jones as their quarterback, to me, is not the answer. Now, I know that the Giants paid him tremendously, and what they agreed to give him, I think it's almost like $40 million a year. That's outrageous for him, but they should have taken a quarterback. They should have taken someone like maybe a Penix that was available. I really thought that McCarthy was going to go a little bit higher than he did at 10, but nonetheless, the Giants took Malik Nabers, who's a great wide receiver from LSU, but like I said, they need someone to get him the ball. Seventh pick, Tennessee Titans took Latham, the offensive tackle. Now, the surprise to me was the eighth pick, like I mentioned earlier, Michael Penix Jr., who has a Tampa roots. He, Tampa Bay Tech, I believe, and nice to see him get drafted, but he wasn't projected to go in the first round even, and here we go in the eighth pick in the overall draft, and he ended up going to the Falcons. Now, I gotta say, if you remember earlier this year, the Falcons just signed Kirk Cousins, gave him over $100 million guaranteed. Now, yes, he's coming back from Achilles surgery. He's up there in age. You don't know what's going to happen, how he's going to be able to come back and play. But when you draft a quarterback, when you need some defense, if you're the Falcons, you got to draft a defensive end, a tackle, someone with the able to press and rush the opposing quarterback, because that's what the Falcons' weakness is. But they go and they draft, a backup quarterback. So I don't know what they were thinking, but that's what they did. Then you had the ninth pick going to Odunze with the Bears. So there you go. You have a wide receiver, someone else for Caleb Williams to pass the ball to. McCarthy, we talked about, from Michigan, 1/10. He went to the Vikings, which is a good pick. I think it's a good fit for them. And then it goes on and on. We're not going to go through all of them, obviously, but what we're interested in was, who did the Bucs take? And as you know, the Bucs had the 26th pick. So if you stood up to watch who the Bucs took, they took Graham Barton out of Duke. He's a center. And, I think that was a great pick. I think his overall projected ranking was 18th. He was still there when the Bucs were up, the 26th pick, and that's a great pick for them. Now, again, what I mentioned earlier, you know what your strengths are, you know what your team's weaknesses are. Well, the Bucs have two glaring weaknesses. The offensive line, in my opinion, is one of them, and an edge rusher on the defensive side of things, it's the second one. So the Barton takes care. I think he was the number one rated center in the whole draft. He started 34 games at left tackle for Duke. And, he's someone that has the ability to quickly develop into a starter at center or a guard. You know, he might get kicked inside, and that's expected here with the Bucks. And, you know, he's very smooth getting set. He changes directions well and flashes the ability to recover when he gets caught out of position. And that's definitely all the traits of a great pass pro. He has the size and strength. He's, 6'5", 313, I think I saw. He's able to win the battles with his hands. He explodes off the ball. And, you know, pretty much at his size, he's a good fit for, you know, zone-heavy schemes, which the Bucks are going to like to run. So he plays with an edge, and he blocks until the whistle, which is something that you really like to hear of a draft choice. And if you remember, the Bucks, they really needed a replacement for Ryan Jensen, and I think Barton is just that. He can fit at center. He can fit at guard. You know, when you have someone like Baker Mayfield there, you know, he's going to be able to help him come along. And I think that it's really a great pick for the Bucks. And overall, you know, well done. I think that from what I've seen of Barton and read about him, he's a mix of, you know, Ryan Jensen, Ali Marpet, and Tristan Wirfs. So he can play anywhere on the O-line, which is what we need. So good job, Bucks. We'll see how they do in the second and third round. But, you know, overall, I think that they did a fine job. We'd love to hear your thoughts. How did your team do? If the Bucks aren't your team, that's fine. Go to JimmyBSports.com. Let me know who your team is and who they picked up in the draft and what you think of that pick. We'll be right back to keep the show going. You are in the gymnasium on Power 90.1.
Fire and Ice Heating and Cooling, serving Valrico and surrounding areas. Locally owned and operated, Fire and Ice will give you an honest estimate on any repairs you might need. Also specializing in new installs, using the industry's highest quality parts and equipment. Don't fall for service time gimmicks that end up sticking you with an overpriced repair bill. Over 25 years of experience dedicated in providing exceptional services. When you don't want service with a guess, call the best. Fire and Ice Heating and Cooling. Call 863-797-7096. That's 863-797-7096. Or online at fireandiceair.com.
Now, back to the show. Back to the Jimmy B Sports Show on Power 90.1.
Sports fans, welcome back. Like I mentioned to the top of the show, we have the playoffs, not just the NHL, but also the NBA. They're underway and expect a lot of drama after memorable first couple games. If you remember, the Boston Celtics clinched number one seed we talked about last week. The Knicks are the two seed. The Sixers are there with Embiid coming in at the seventh seed. If you talk about that game in a second, but if you look so far in the NBA playoffs, there are some things that are pretty much noticeable to me. And one of those things is that the refereeing is being criticized by the coaches, by the players, and everyone in between. The thing about what to me makes a good referee is that consistency. If you're going to referee a game, whether you're going to call it tight, whether you're going to, you know, put the whistle away and let them play, that's all fine as long as you do it throughout the whole game. When you start switching things up midway or maybe at the end of the game, you know, start, you know, calling things differently or not calling things that were called during the rest of the game, that's when there's going to be issues. One of my pet peeves is, you know, all of these delay of games where they're looking at, you know, reviewing, was there a flagrant foul? Or, man, I remember back in the 80s when you had Lambeer playing against the Celtics and there was no such thing as a flagrant foul. You drove the lane and you went up for a layup you thought was going to be uncontested and you got knocked to the ground pretty quick. Just ask Isaiah Thomas. He'll tell you. But these days it's a lot different. And does it take away from the game? It takes away. You want to keep the players safe, no doubt. I'm all for that. But You know, you don't want to delay the game by constantly going to the review booth to see if someone accidentally tripped or got pushed or whatever it might be. So, you know, you talk about that. You know, you look at the NBA playoffs right now. You have the, you talk about the Eastern Conference, the Celtics. Now, they're tied with the Miami Heat. The Celtics are a one seed. The Heat are an eight seed. Now, the Celtics won the first game pretty handily. They won by locked off 20 points, I think. But in the second game, the Heat came back and beat the Celtics up there in Boston, which was a surprise to everybody. They beat them by 10 points up there, and that's without Jimmy Butler. Yeah, Jimmy Buckets isn't playing. He's hurt and not quite sure when he's going to make it back, if he does. But now the next two games, they're playing today and also on Monday down in Miami. So any team that Pat Riley is involved in is going to be tough, and they're going to go out there and they're going to play to win. They're not afraid of anyone, and the Celtics have a history of having a great regular season and then coming up a little bit short lately in the playoffs. We'll see what happens in that. The Heat had 23 three-pointers in game two, and if they shoot like that, they're going to be tough to eliminate. Celtics should still be favored, but we'll see what happens in that game. The Knicks and the 76ers. The Knicks are a two seed. 76ers lost the first two games. The Knicks beat them twice in the Garden, holding serve, basically. They went up to Philly to play game three on Thursday night. Embiid had 50 points as the Sixers won that game 125 to 114. Talk about Embiid, though. He's a reigning MVP. He's out there. He's got a bad knee. If you remember, he had surgery back in February, and he was out there playing in games one and two. He could barely walk. He had to leave the game at one point, came back in, and has looked like Willis Reed coming back. But and on top of that, now he's saying that he's been diagnosed with Bell's palsy, left side of his face, you know, his eye, his cheek, his lip is pretty much numb, and so he's fighting some health issues there. But he goes out there and puts up 50 on the Knicks. So quite a performance by him. The Sixers will be playing on Sunday and Tuesday. Sunday is the second game in Philly. Then they'll go back to New York for game five. So that's going to be a pretty interesting series. A little bit of pushing and shoving there. A flagrant foul on Mitchell Robinson that they called. Embiid, he grabbed his leg. So, you know, going back and forth, and that's what you expect in the playoffs. Tyrone Maxey, man, well, what a talent he is. He'll be the reason, like I said last week in the show, whether or not the Sixers advance or not. He comes into his own, and you know, he can drive at will very quick. The first step that he has is unbelievable. And again, it should be a great series. The Bucks and the Pacers. Now, right now, that series is going into game four on Sunday. It was 1-1 going into the weekend. I look, Giannis not playing. You know, the Pacers can go out there and win. So that's going to be a series that's going to depend on the defense and if Giannis is able to come back from that calf strain. Chris Middleton is questionable. And, you know, it's one of those things where playoff basketball, you just don't know who's going to be healthy and who's not. You have the Orlando Magic, which is the closest team to, you know, here in Tampa. They're playing Cleveland. Cleveland has the edge 2-1 in that series. They'll be playing game four later on today, about 1 o'clock, I think they said they're starting. The Magic won game three, 121-83, which, you know, if they win today, then we're back to even. It's a best of three series. And I think that's Orlando is a streaky team. And, you know, you get Banchero in there. You know, he had a great game. And, you know, they're a team that, like I said, is streaky. Jalen Suggs, he returned after the knee injury. I think that Orlando was actually going to win that series, is my prediction. Then you look at the Western Conference, OKC, who was a number one seed, hosting and playing the New Orleans Pelicans. While the Thunder won the first two games, the first game only by 2 points, but then they blew out the Pelicans by, I think there was 30, 32 points in the second one. They'll be at New Orleans for games 3 and 4 today and Monday. I think OKC should win that game. You know, with that route, Holmgren really played well. Zion's not playing, so with him not playing, it's a different team, and I don't see any issues for OKC. Denver and the Lakers, I'll tell you what, it's time to break up the Lakers. Just LeBron, and I think that after losing Game 3, they're pretty much... no need to break up the team there and find something else. Tired of hearing about the Lakers. I think that you look at Jokic with the Nuggets, the reigning champs, the way they go out there. They won the first game by 114 to 103, the second one by 2 points on a buzzer beater shot, and then they beat the Lakers back in LA on Thursday night by 7. Game 4 is today. That's going to be tonight, and the Lakers could be eliminated again by the Nuggets, and they could be swept by the Nuggets if they win that game later on tonight. So we'll see what happens in that series. I look for the Nuggets to repeat the same thing last year against the Lakers, moving on to the second round. Then you have Minnesota and the Phoenix Suns. Minnesota is a surprise. They're leading the Phoenix Suns 2-0. I say surprise because I really thought that Phoenix, although they're a sixth seed, would play a little bit better than they have. And I think that they're playing again tomorrow, 9:30 at night. Now, Naz Reid won the NBA Sixth Man of the Year award. And, Grayson Allen aggravated his ankle against Minnesota. That's not helping their cause. So I will say, now you have Rudy Gobert there. He's always controversial, but nonetheless, that's a series that needs to be evened up to make it worth watching. The Clippers and the Mavericks, that's a series that I like. I said that the Mavericks are my dark horse in the playoffs. They lost the first game to the Clippers, but came back to win by 3 in the second game. So we'll see what happens now as it goes to Dallas. 2 games there over the weekend. And, you know, when you have Kyrie Irving and, Luka Doncic, they can compete with Kyrie Leonard coming back. And, of course, Harden and George out there for the Clippers. So that's a fun series to watch. And, again, if you like the basketball, this is the time of the year because, these guys, sometimes they mail it in, it seems, during the regular season. But come playoff time, it's a whole different ball game. And a lot of times I'll say that the NBA really isn't worth watching all that much sometimes until the playoffs. But once the playoffs start, you have teams that go out there and they play for a lot of pride. These guys all know each other, and they want to be able to have those bragging rights over the summer. So I'd love to hear your comments on that. I know that there's no team here in Tampa. Are you a Magic fan, or maybe you moved from somewhere else in the country? How's your team doing? And, definitely weigh in on that. Go to jimmybsports.com and shoot me an email on that, or shoot me an email on anything that we talked about. I know we talked about the hockey playoffs, which I think, by the way, it's the most nerve-wracking sport to watch the playoffs in is the NHL. Whether it's your team or just watching a game in general, if you have an interest, if you're a hockey fan, those games, you'll be chewing your nails definitely trying to watch that game to the end. And then you have overtime, and it just makes it very interesting to watch. So appreciate all the comments. We had a ton of emails to get to. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. We'll be trying to take some more next week. Let me know what you think about the Bucks. Are you happy with Barton as the draft pick in the first round? I said it's a good one, but I'd love to hear your opinion. As always, guys, have a good weekend. Enjoy the sporting market. Stay safe, stay vigilant, above all, stay positive. We'll talk to you next weekend in the gymnasium on Power 90.1.